What is up? What is good, everyone? Dylan Eckes here with the Inner Man Project. So today I'm recording solo. I was supposed to do an interview with a very special guest. I'm not going to tell you who it is because I still want it to be a surprise. But we had to reschedule. You know, sometimes scheduling and communication isn't the clearest, and it's really no one's fault. But at the end of the day, we had a conflict of scheduling. So with that being said, I wanted to do a podcast today, since I am by myself, a short one, but regarding New Year's resolutions. And I was thinking recently that it's mid-January. A lot of people have fallen off the resolution train. And I think it's important to discuss that a lot of resolutions are super extravagant goals that a lot of us can't complete. Last year, I made the decision to quit chewing tobacco, but I made that decision several weeks before my New Year's resolution. And it wasn't something that was eating at me every single day when I started that journey of quitting nicotine. And so, but what I find is a lot of people, they put it out into the ether, they put it out into the universe that they want to accomplish something, that they want to get something done, that they want to accomplish these huge extravagant goals. And there's no systems in place. There's no habits in place. There's no patterns. There's nothing set in stone that they can build off of. And I think that's where most people fail. So today I wanted to talk about New Year's resolutions and not necessarily setting goals, but creating better habits. And I think that once we start creating better habits, we can start creating goals based off those habits. And I'm going to go through five here, but the reason why you want to start a habit rather than a goal is because if you miss a day, or you have to rearrange your schedule, or anything comes up that conflicts with timing or the system in place, you don't have to feel bad about quote unquote failing your goal. The first one that I wrote down here was to make your bed as soon as you wake up. Now, a lot of people, and I've said this in the past on our podcast, I've said this in the past in our drop-in groups, in our men's groups, when you make your bed, it's not for the sake of making your bed. It's for the sake of creating better habits. It's for setting the bar really low. So when you do make your bed, you started the day with a victory. Some people say, well, Dylan, you know, what if my wife is sleeping? Great. Tuck in your side, make your side look nice and carry on with your day. I don't think that making your bed is as big as a deal as some people make it. Some people think, well, I don't make my bed because I'll just mess it up at night anyways. That's great. You know, Admiral William McRaven, he talked about this in his commencement speech, about setting the standard for yourself, creating small goals that you can attain and accomplish so you feel better about your day. It's about starting your day with a win. And like he says, if you end up having a crappy day, at least you'll have a nice bed and a warm bed that's made at the end of the day that you feel good about. So I don't think it's necessarily about making the bed per se. It's about creating a small habit that you can accomplish every single day. The next one that I wrote down was journaling before bed. I think this is a great one. Some people like to journal when they wake up. I personally journal when I wake up. But the reason why you want to journal in the first place is because talking and writing leads to thinking, and our brain is continuously going nonstop, especially before bed, right? We have that anxiety, we have insomnia, we have other things going on, and we can't turn off our brain. Journaling in any sort of book allows you to dissect what happened in your day. It allows you to reflect on your day. But most importantly, it allows you to get all those thoughts that have been accumulating in that head of yours all day long out on paper, so you don't have to worry about it. And I'm telling you, from all the guys I've told to start journaling, from my own testimonies and from guys who I've helped in the past with this, writing down your goals, writing down your thoughts and getting it out on paper will allow your brain to just release it. It just lets it go. So number two would be journal before bed. Number three, be a two percenter. I don't know if anybody's read the book, The Comfort Crisis, but it's a book by Michael Easter. And he talks about basically the reason why we're lazy and the reason why we're obese and all these other things are leading to health concerns is because we're too comfortable. And he wrote an article recently in his newsletter called Be a 2%er. And basically what it did is it outlined, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but it was a study that found that only 2% of the population was faced with stairs or an elevator will actually take the elevator or the escalator, sorry, will actually take the stairs rather than the escalator. So the point of being a 2%er is to be more active. Instead of, you know, driving to the grocery store that's 3 blocks away, walk. Instead of, instead of going to the convenience store to, you know, pick up something to drink or snacks. Well, if you're going to have snacks anyways, go for a walk and do it. Walk to pick up the mail instead of driving. Another one that's big for me is if you're on a phone conversation, go for a walk around the block. If it's too cold out, like it was here for the last 2 weeks in Medicine Hat in Alberta, grab your phone and pace around the house. Just walk around the house, pick up stuff, maybe put laundry in a basket while you're on the phone, having a meeting, having a phone call with your spouse. Get up and start moving. When you're in public, don't take the escalator or the elevators, take the stairs. If you only got 3 floors to go up to, take the stairs. I was at the pediatrician's about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. My kids had a little bit of a cough, wanted to make sure that they were all good. Took them to the pediatrician's. They're on the third floor. I was on the main floor, and I picked up both the kids, 2 years old each, and walked up the stairs. And the lady at the front desk said, "Did you really just take the stairs?" I'm like, it's literally an extra 30 feet of me walking. And halfway through, I put both of them down anyways and made them walk with me, and they did fantastic. And so I personally take the stairs. It's helped me accumulate more steps in my day. It's helped me stay more active. And it also, when you do something like go for a walk around the block or go for a walk outside or take the stairs, there's something that happens, I think, and I don't know what exactly it is, but it allows our brain to wander in directions and think about things outside of the normal box that we think in. And I don't know what exactly it is. Maybe it's specifically being out in nature, but I feel as though when I go for a walk outside or after a phone call walk, I call them a phone call walk meeting. When I take the stairs, when I do things like that, I feel as though my brain is more clear. And I don't know exactly what it is, but I highly recommend being a 2%er and taking the stairs. Number four is limit your time on devices. Guys, I have my phone set on, 1 second here, clear this message. I have my phone on do not disturb all day long. So that's number one. I only have a certain amount of people that I'm allowed to have call in during that time. It may sound egotistical, but it allows me to leave my phone alone. It allows me to be more productive at work. It allows me to be more focused when I'm with my family. It allows me to be more focused when I'm with my friends. The other thing that I do is I set time limits on my phone. I have a 1 hour time limit for social media every day. 7 months ago, I looked at my phone. I believe I was anywhere from like 3.5 to 5.5 hours per week. That's the time frame of just time on social media. That's not time reading emails. That's not time sending text messages. That was solely on social media. I am now only hitting around 1 hour, 45 minutes to 2 hours a day. And that's including sending emails for work, getting things lined up for the Innerman project and social media. My average social media intake right now is anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes a day. I post and then I ghost. I promote what I have to promote for the Innerman. I post what I have to post on Instagram and then I get out. So limit your time on devices. Things you can do to help with this is to plan ahead. Plan the smallest activities that you wouldn't think to ever plan. I set aside time every day to have coffee with my wife or tea with my wife every night. Every other night, I spend 20, 30 minutes playing video games with my kids. I feel, or I'll take them to the park, or I'll go play road hockey outside with them. When I actually schedule, like sit down, with my notebook and schedule in actual activities with my family, my friends, my community, whatever it is, I realize that in that moment, I have to put my phone down because I'm committed to that moment, right? I'm committed to being of service to my friends if they have asking for help. I'm committed to spending time with my wife, one-on-one time, no phones, right? I'm committed to spending that time with my kids when we decide to go for a walk or go to the playground. So schedule activities, no matter how big or small. The other thing that I can say is read an actual book. As you can see behind me on my bookshelf, I have tons of books. I have books underneath me. I have books to the left of me. I got a whole other bookshelf in another room full of books. My kids have books. Reading in my family is super important. And it's not for the sake of just picking up a book and knowing something or being interested in something. It's about allowing our minds to develop and think the way they're supposed to. We're supposed to consume information at a slower pace than social media and the internet is giving us. And reading allows you to sit there. And when you're actually in indulging in a book and really engaged in a book, you're absorbing the emotions, the context, and everything that you're reading. And I believe that reading will allow you, once you start creating a habit out of it, will allow you to not utilize social media and the internet as much. Number five, consumption before bed. I'm talking blue light, heavy amounts of food, and any sort of heavy stimulation before bed. Blue light, we already know, is bad for your vision. It's bad for insomnia. It leads to insomnia, sorry. We also know that food consumption, your body doesn't digest the food, and it actually prevents REM sleep. Your sleep, I would say, is the most crucial, important aspect of your mental health and physical health and emotional health. So be very cognizant about what you're doing before bed. I limit all screen time. Within an hour before bed, all my screens are off. I'm reading books, I'm journaling, I'm writing. Some of you may or may not know, I'm writing a book right now. And one of the things that I do is I don't necessarily sit there and type. I actually write in a composite book. So those are some of the things that I would suggest. Another thing is meditating. I meditate in the afternoons because I feel it fills that void of losing focus in the middle of the day. But you can also do it before bed. I found, and I still do it before bed, my meditation before bed is a little bit different than the middle of the day. The middle of the day is more of a focus. I need to focus on something, whether it's work or getting emails done. And I allow myself to shut my mind off for a certain amount of time. When I do my ASMR and I'm listening to rain or sleep sounds and I'm meditating before bed, my focus is to focus on sleep and to continue my thoughts to be in a little square box of breathing. So I breathe and meditate before bed. And I'll sometimes do that for 45, 50 minutes, depending on how much anxiety or stress I'm having throughout the day. So let's go over this list one more time. The five habits that I highly recommend you create instead of setting goals and New Year's resolutions. Number one, make your bed as soon as you wake up in the morning. Number two, journal before bed. Number three, be a 2%er, take the stairs. Number four, limit time on your devices. And number five, limit any sort of heavy stimulation and consumption before bed. Allow your mind to rest, allow your body to rest. I believe all these things kind of tie into each other. And what I noticed with these five habits that I've created in my own life is that you'll notice that, as you can hear my dog wanting to go play, you'll notice that these five habits will allow you to create other habits and achieve other goals and accomplish other things in your career, in your personal life, in your friendship, and in your relationship with your spouse, relationship with your kids, all of the above. So that would be my five habits to create instead of relying on New Year's resolutions, because I know a lot of you have already broken them already. So with that being said, guys, like I said, this was supposed to be an interview episode, but I decided to do something else. The next episode that you'll see out of this will be a conversation with Shane and myself in the new studio. thanks everybody for watching. Thanks everybody for tuning in. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Innerman Project. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at InnermanYXH. Our new Instagram, run by Batman himself up in Calgary, is at InnermanYYC. And our website is www.TheInnermanProject.com. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.